and cost them also. But I never will forget the morning that we left. And I don't know why God dealt with my heart this morning or this afternoon about this for the night service. But that morning that we left, we got up about 3:30 and got ready to leave. And about 4:45 we pulled out and it was still dark, just dusty. Sun starting to come up just far away. We was going down the road, and you know, there was very few people on the road. You talk about Haiti, you're talking about a place where that, you know, when you drive, you just drive on any side of the road that you want to drive on. If you're on the in the left lane and you're going the opposite direction, whoever's coming at you just has to dodge. And sometimes they both dodge in the same area, same direction. It makes it bad. But we're going down the road, and off, way off in the distance, I see the sun's coming up a little more, and I see an object. It looks like a quilt or a big piece of material laying in the road at a far distance. And the closer we get, I keep looking, and it looks like that object has arms and legs. But the vehicles that's coming just keeps running over it and keeps going right on over top of it. And then a little later, I hollered at Brother Azumi, and I said, "Brother Azumi, pull over. There's a man that has been hit in the road, and nobody's stopping to check or to pull him off the road anyways." And he said, "No." And big truck come along and just run over him and just throw him in the road. And I won't go into the gross detail of everything, but it was a terrible and a horrifying sight. I remember Brother Winford King heaving and almost throwing up, and Brother Noah and some of the others. And I said, "Brother Zami, at least pull off the road and let me go over and drag that man out of the road." I said, "We do a dog at least that way in America." And he said, "No, I can't." You see, in Haiti, the person that's touching the individual that's dead gets charged with the murder of that individual. And Brother Azumi didn't want me to get charged with that murder. And I'm glad, but I believe I'd have took the chance and pulled the man out of the road. I'll be honest with you. I thought about so many things that I've seen there and so many things I've seen in other places. Situations of life that I've seen. And I begin to think about how that God has blessed us and at our worst. And I'm telling you today, I had just a little thought this afternoon or this morning early when I was reading and praying, and I had a little thought for tonight, but God began to speak to my heart and said, "I just want you to just read the 69th chapter, the first 5 verses in the book of Psalms." And I began to read those verses, and I began to hear the voice of God begin to speak to my heart. And every testimony, as you turn there, you'll see that every testimony has been right on the point. It's been right in that very part. And God knows exactly what He is doing. I want to speak my heart tonight. I thought about just saying, "Brother Jeff, won't you come on up here and preach?" But the Lord just really has dealt with my heart. You may think that you're in the worst situation of your life, but you're not. You're really not. You see, our least paid individual, amen, has more than a lot of folks in other foreign countries that live around us. Our thing is, and please, please hear me. Please listen to what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Our thing is we have become, let me preach to me just a little while. And if you want to take it, you can take it for yourself. I have become a very selfish individual. I have become to the place to where that I feel like what I want and what I need are two different things. But my wants overpower the needs that God sees that I have. I have come to the place in my life to where that I feel like that if God don't do for me what I think He ought to do, then God's not fair. I have come to the place in my life to where that there's times to when that I begin to tell God exactly what's best for me. I think the children of Israel have done that many times, don't you? I think God got tired of them at times and would have killed them and destroyed them, but Moses interceded for them and said, "Lord, if you kill them, kill me too." Right. Amen. And mean, so many times as we begin to look and we begin to see, I don't know what God is trying to do here tonight, and it really doesn't matter to me. I learned years and years and years ago that the Lord knows what's best for every one of us. But in the book of Psalms, the 69th chapter and verse 1, and I'll miss the first part, but he said, "A psalm of David, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. Save me, O God, for the waters have come in unto my soul." In verse 2 he said, "I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into the deep waters, where the floods overflow me." In verse 3 he said, "I am weary of my crying." Amen. "My throat is dried, my eyes fail, while I wait for my God. They that hate me," in verse 4 he says, "without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." And listen to what he's saying here in verse 5. "O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." Verse 5 is powerful. Verse 5 is dramatic. Verse 5 is ultimate. I mean, it is just what they say, Brother Donnell, in this hour, the young kids, that's awesome. Amen. I mean, it's just awesome the way that the Lord, he's saying, David's saying, "Oh God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Oh God, you know exactly how that I've made this thing in my life. You know exactly what's taken place and how things have happened. And oh God, let me say this. Oh God, I don't understand what you're trying to do in my life. I don't understand, God, the twistedness and the brokenness and the torn apart things that you have allowed me to suffer and to go through." David's saying, "I sink deep in the mire. I mean, my feet, they have no standing. Everything around me, God, it seems, oh, hallelujah. It seems like that there's no rock solid bottom. There's no, I don't know much about quicksand, but I do know about a good mud hole that you sink up in the soot and the mire." Amen. "And it seems like that when you try to pull yourself out, that your shoes come off. I've even had my socks come off my feet because they were stuck in the mud." Amen. I mean, I've seen times that there was no way that I could pull myself up and pull myself out. I'm speaking literally in this life. And God is speaking here to David. And David's crying out to God and saying, "God, there's no solidness. It's all shifting sand. It's all muck and mire. And this pit that I'm in, God, there's no help for me at all. I need something." I want you to know, listen to me just for a minute. David is crying out. And there's a scene here of danger. There's a place here that David's at that the devil himself, let's not call him the enemy. Let's not call him Lucifer. Let's not call him the opponent of our souls. But let's call him, Brother B. Sloan, what he is, the devil himself. He's trying to destroy David. He's bringing David to a place that there's nothing else. And David's fighting for everything in him. And all at once, David said, "I've got no solid standing. There's no place. There's no stability in my life." That's what David's saying. That's what David's trying to get across. I thought so many times, amen, I've seen them muck and mar holes. Amen, I fell in a few of them, Brother Donnell, in my life, to where that when I reach out to grab something, it was a handful of mud and there was nothing there. When you're in that place and you're in that spot, my friend, That's the time that the enemy wants to attack the mind. That's the time that the enemy wants to begin to speak harshly to the very thoughts that you're thinking. I know, listen to me, we're not talking about sixth graders and seventh graders, eighth graders and ninth graders. We're not talking about children, young children that sit down at 13 and 14 and say nobody cares and nobody loves me. We're talking about men and women that have faced opposition in their life. We're talking about people, amen, that have gone through things and really sold up to it. But all of a sudden there's no out. Every room is just walls. And there's no exit. There's no doors. There's no windows. There's no roof lining. I mean, it's just concrete walls everywhere you turn. And it seems like, oh God, I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. About a distress call from hell. How the enemy wants you to see only the darkness on the walls. The darkness on the ceiling. Hey, there's no stars in the sky. There's no moon shining. There's no sun coming up. There's no daylight ahead. It's just darkness all around us. My God is trying to say to us tonight, hey friend, it's a room of emptiness. It's a place that nobody knows and nobody wants to go there. It's a place to where that nobody just volunteers and says, I'll take part of it. I want to go into that little place, that little room, that little cell. I thought some years ago under some situations and under some circumstances, I was put in a hole. Amen. I won't go into it all. But there was no light there. There was a hole about as big as a 50-cent piece. And the light shined through that. And that's all there was. No windows, no door. Amen. And when you got out, they rolled a big door up and that was it. That was the only way out. But when they rolled that door down, it locked in position and was solid, brother. I'm telling you, that hole got stopped up and the darkness began to speak to my mind. The enemy, the powers of hell, the truancy of all this life began to speak to my soul. And when that darkness surrounds you, it seemed like there's nothing that you can do but just listen and hear. You try to make noises to block out the thoughts and the things that's coming. My God, Brother Be Sloan, this is serious tonight. There's no way that you can find help. And there's no hope. It's helplessness and hopelessness. It's a dangerous place to live. After all that, after all the hopelessness and all the helplessness, after all the time that we begin to hear these things, all of a sudden, we become weak and weary with the soundings of the words that is surrounding us, that is overshadowing us, that is overtaking us. I don't know much about it. I just know what the Lord is speaking to me tonight. I just know what God said at about 2:30 in the afternoon in that little office right there that says pastor on it. I know what the Lord said while I was writing down some notes for a message that I'd preach tonight. The Lord said, put the pen down because I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you something. There's somebody that's suffering greatly in that dark, deep, damnable room. There's a place that you can go to that you begin to hear those voices. There's things that I want to say tonight that don't come easy because I've seen them in my family, in my home, in my life. I've seen these things. There's a place that you can go to where you begin to listen to this voice. And this voice begins to tell you, there's no way out. There's no hope. It's not the church shooting this past week that has got me thinking in this area, though I did think about it. It's not the Brian Nichols in Atlanta, Georgia, that killed the four people and wounded others and hurt others. It's not that, though I did think about it. But I tell you what it is. It's being alone in my office with God and hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost speak to me saying, this place that this person is in, or these people are in, is a place of no return except they touch my throne, except they reach their hand out. But do you know that you can get in such a dark place, Brother Jerry Kazee Sr., that that place makes you feel like that you can't even reach your hand up? When I was in that little room and in that space, and there was no light, and there was no hope, and there was all wearisomeness around me, I thought, I can lift my hand, but I couldn't lift my hands because they were so weary. They were so troubled, amen. But oh, friend, I want you to know something tonight. I'm so glad, as a brother said tonight, as he testified, that brother, I thought the other day, I forget who it was in my office, but there's a lion, big picture of a lion in there on the wall that somebody gave me years ago. And that lion has got a crown and a sepulcher there. And it's laying there with its paws crossed. And on that paw, there's a dot there. This individual went over and they began to rub on that picture. And they said, there's something inside there. There's something on that paw of that lion. And I just sat there and I said, no, there's not. I said, that's the nail prints from the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the very pardon of our sins. That's the very place, amen, that brother was talking about that Jesus went to for you and I and suffered. Excuse me. And he died that we might be set free from a world of sin. The brokenness, the sickness, the pain and the hurt. Hey, listen to me. There's some folks that don't know what I'm even talking about. There's people here tonight that are saying, preacher, what are you trying to say? I hope you never understand this message. I hope you never understand my words. It just shows me that you've never been there. And sometimes that's a very good thing. But these people that have been there, these folks that have stood on the brinks of eternity and made a decision with a gun stuck to their head. Hey, friend, hear me tonight. The Holy Ghost of God has never made a mistake. In verse 4, he's weary. Listen to what he's saying. He said, I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm weak from the crying. I'm wore out from the things that are surrounding me. Things that are taking place in my life. Things that are happening. David's saying, Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can take. Does those words sound familiar to some of us here tonight? Do we hear our voice saying, God, I don't know how much more of this that I can take. I don't know how much more I can handle, Lord. If you don't help me out of this dark room, if you don't bring me to the place in my life that I can see some relief or feel some relief, then God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I almost imagine Paul was there whenever he said, I'm now ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, listen to me, there's a crown laid up for me, but not only for me, but for all those, every one of us, amen, that awaits His appearance, amen. It may not be the best for you right now. It may not be the greatest thing happening in your life right now. Hey, the darkness may be surrounding you right now. You may not have a match or a lighter on you to reach in your pocket and flick your bit and see a little shadows, amen, somewhere. But oh, friend, if you begin to cry out to God, if you begin to march in place, hey, when the children of Israel come across that great Red Sea, before they came across it, Moses told them, stand still and see the salvation of God. I've got to say it tonight. It's busting in my soul. The very fall of suicide brings the arch enemies of hell to your thought pattern. The very thought of suicide
amen, brings every devil in hell. It's like a birthday party, amen, with a hog roast at it. It's like the blessedness of heaven falling on us. When one of the children of God begin to get depressed and oppressed by this life and the patterns of sin. Amen. Listen to me, friend. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Hey, the devils of hell begin to rejoice. They begin to clap their hands. They begin to shout like we shout when the Holy Ghost comes down. They begin to march to and fro and say, yes, we've got them now. But my God, they don't have us. Hey, that third day in that tomb when the Holy Ghost of God marched down there and unlocked that door of death. Jesus came forth. Amen. And busted loose. Hear me tonight. There's a brighter day ahead. Just hold on to the unchanging hand of God.
I'm worried, Sam. I'm worried, Lord. The effects of tiredness, amen, are great. I've actually and literally worked in my life. I worked in a steel mill for about 12, 13 years. But I've literally worked so many hours that I could not pick my hands up. I remember one day working 18 hours. And I mean, we worked. It was hot. It was summer. And inside, it was about 98 degrees outside. Inside, it's going to be about 115, 120 degrees. I worked beside big ovens in a plant. And we picked up 280-some pounds every 5 minutes and throwed them on a big rack, rolled them off out of a mold and put them on steel plates and throwed them on a big rack, me and another boy. We worked all that day. There was an order that had to be met. Do you know that the devil's got an order that's going to have to be met? Huh? But in that order that had to be met, if they lost the order, they lost the contract. It was a multi-million-dollar contract. My boss begged me. He told me. He said, look, if you can get this done, I don't care if you take a week's vacation. But we've got to get this order filled tonight. We've got to get them molds made. And the first thing in the morning, they must be poured. Because the next day, they have to be chipped and grind. And then they have to go out the door on that train. I told him, I said, oh, we'll do our best. We'll do our very best. 16 hours went by, and my arms and my back and my legs felt like rubber. I just felt like I couldn't go no more. But I sat down for a moment, and I sat there and I was weak and tired and trembling inside and outside too. I told that boy, I said, we just got a couple more hours if we can make it. I said, we'll take a couple days off and we'll rest. They was going to give us big bonus, amen, for making the quota and doing what had to be done. But we made it. We finally made the last one. We rolled. And I had to get two other men to come and help us load it on the rack to get it out of that place. But I remember going to the shower house. I've never been this tired before in my life. Never. And since, I've never been this tired. But I sat on the bench, on the shower bench, after 18 hours and 20 minutes of work in that steel mill. And I put my head up against an old, cold, steel locker. And I was getting ready to try to take a shower and go home. But I fell asleep right there, Brother Leonard, with my head against that hard, cold steel. And I woke up about 6 hours later. I mean, I was physically and mentally exhausted to the place to where that when I sat down, I collapsed. I didn't know what happened. Only thing I know is when I woke up, there was somebody at the end of the bench, pounding on the bench, saying, hey, man, wake up. It's time to go to work. And I woke up and shook myself, but I still felt weak and trembly inside. I just got my clothes and took them and went home and didn't even take a shower. I got to the house and I thought, I mean, I was dirty. If you never worked there before, but it's a filthy place. I laid down. Sister Sharon was here tonight, she'd tell you. I laid down when I came in the door. I'll never forget it, Brother B. My mind was so gone, I could not think. I nearly didn't make it home in my vehicle.
I laid down and curled up in the floor. When I opened the door of my house, I laid on the floor right there in front of the door, and I literally blacked out. I went to sleep. I got up hours later. So Sharon was gone. I got up hours later and I crawled to the bathroom and washed my face with cold water. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm not trying to tell you how I worked. I'm trying to tell you tonight I feel ill. There's a place you can get that you have mentally exhausted it all. You have fed the world and you fed this life everything there is, and you have nothing else to offer. Listen to me tonight. All you need to do is roll over in the sunshine and say, Lord, I've got to have your help.
I got on a young lady here not long ago. I'm not mentioning no names. I don't want them to mention no names. She was broken about a little issue, and she said, I wish I was dead. And I tell you, I'm real touchy in those areas. But I grabbed her in my arms. I said, don't you ever say something like that again. Don't you ever breathe another issued word like that again in your life. Oh, I know we've all as kids said, I wish I wasn't born, and I wish I had a new mom and dad. I wish this and I wish that. Don't you ever let the devil is in hell hear you make those comments that you'd rather be dead. That brings executions from hell. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost bouncing up and down my spine tonight. That brings the promises of hell alive. You hear me? The thief cometh not but to steal. Right here, brother. He wants to steal your mind to where you can't think. He wants to get you to the place to where you have no control over your thoughts. Amen. He cometh not but to steal, to kill. Somebody said, now once you're dead, that's it. No, it ain't, brother. That's not all of it. Because once he gets you to execute yourself or go into the mode of being executed, amen, then he wants to destroy. And he's not destroying you by mere or sheer coincidental things of life, but it's in hell, fire for eternity. And that's where it's at, my friend. That's what he does. He cometh but not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy your soul. But tonight, as I've been preaching to you, friend, I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best to get you to realize your thought pattern is all, is a very powerful thing. Somebody said, and as a man thinketh, so is he. I mean, when you begin to think things, when you begin to look at things and in areas, I want you to know something tonight. When you begin to look in issues and you begin to have odds against somebody and you begin to let those things run through your thought, that's what you are, a bitter person, amen. And when you begin to think on issues of killing yourself or issues of ending things around you, amen, I'm telling you tonight by the authority of God's Word, it's from the very pits of hell. It brings echoes and shadows and voices that you cannot deal with within yourself. Oh God. David said, I can't. I'm weary. I'm weak. I found no hope, and I found it to be helpless. I'm thinking about a man, Brother Wendell Lester. A lot of you folks know Brother Lester real well. Raised in Logan County, West Virginia. His mother had a lot of children, four or five different other children. She had come to the place in her life to where that she felt like that there was nothing else left for her. There's nothing she could do with life. Things was rough and things was hard back then. Brother Lester's probably 68, maybe 70 years old. I don't know, Sister Sires. He's probably close to that, isn't he? right in that area somewhere. But his mom, it was in the hard times, his mom stood on the railroad trestle in Logan, West Virginia, and said, "I can't go on, I can't make it. I can't feed the children I've got, and I got another child on the way." She said, "I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to jump off this bridge." The Holy Ghost of God of heaven come down and begin to speak to Sister Lester. And this is what the Holy Ghost said to her. "That thing that you have inside of you is holy. And I, the Lord, have anointed him for my purpose." She fell down and she began to weep and began to sob before God of heaven. Began to ask God to forgive her for even thinking about such a thing. Thinking about a young girl in Del Barton, West Virginia, that drove up on a hill, a place they called Lookout Mountain in West Virginia. She sat there. She was with child and had cancer. They told her that make it, she's terminally ill. The child, there was no way the child would even make it. If she did live long enough to give birth, she couldn't make it. A little red-headed woman sat in that car and said, "I can't live like this." Put her foot on the brake and put her car in gear. And as she began to let her foot off the brake, the Holy Ghost of heaven come down in that vehicle. The motor died, stalled out. She hadn't been having any trouble with the car. The Holy Ghost spoke to her heart and said, "I, the Lord, will sustain thee." "I, the Lord, will sustain thee and keep thee. But only trust thou in me." Years have gone by. Just the other day, I heard news that that woman, her little girl, just finished college and is going on to medical school and practicing to be a doctor. And that woman still worshiping God. Oh God. I got saved in 1975. I started pastoring this church in 1980, but in 1979, I was sitting in my kitchen at the house we lived right across the road from where I live now. Phone rang about 2 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't pastoring then, I was working on a job. And on the other end, I heard a voice saying, "Brother Mike, I'm going to kill myself. I can't take no more." A fellow that had been through a lot of things, and I won't go into all that either. Lost his job. Situations are just unreal. I got up and dressed real quick and jumped in my vehicle and ran down off Parsons to Midoff. I jumped out of my vehicle, didn't even turn the lights off in it. Ran to the door. I beat on the door, beat on the door. Nobody came. I took my license and jimmied the lock and got in and went upstairs. In the corner of a little room was a big old man curled up in a ball, weeping, crying. His name was Harry. I grabbed him in my arms and I said, "Harry, what have you done to yourself?" He said, "Nothing." But with a Smith & Wesson 6-inch long barrel 38 caliber gun, he has sat there. And Brother Ron Hurst, he had snapped that gun with 6 shells. He had snapped it 4 times. If you don't know anything about pistols, when that firing pin hits, it hits that center rim, that center pouch, which strikes fire inside that bullet and throws that lead out that barrel. And it has no eyes. Whatever it's pointed at, that's what it goes into. But as I kicked the chamber down on that 38 Smith & Wesson caliber pistol, kicked them shells out of my hand, I looked. And to my surprise, there was 4 firing pin holes in the center of the rim of those pistol shells. He said, "I tried, and I tried, and I tried. But it just wouldn't work." I said, "Harry, you better thank God of heaven it didn't work. You better be glad that it didn't work. Because if it would have worked, you would have been working tonight right now in hell." But as I pulled him up and set him in a chair and began to talk to him, see, Harry was a drunkard and a drug addict from years back. Opium and heroin and liquor. And he said, "I can't take it. I just can't take life. I won't finish all of it, but I'll tell you this. 4 years later, I preached Harry's funeral. And his last words was, 'I'm going home right this time, brother.'" Hear me tonight? I look around this church tonight and I can tell you right now, there's folks in here that have thought. There's folks in here that have contemplated, young and old alike. But thank God that light came into the room before you did what you had to do and thought you was going to do. Thank God that the door came open where there was, seemed like there was no door. The Lord said, "I'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way." I tell you, Sister Tina, I've seen people in some awful messes. I've seen people that made me feel ashamed to go home and sit in the couch, Sister Joanne Cox, that I sit in. I've seen families that have lived with so much less than what I have. I am a very selfish man in life. I have brought myself to a place of understanding that if I never have anything more than what I've got, and if I got less than what I have now, I got more than a lot of folks will ever have. Folks don't understand a lot of things. Since I went to Mexico, then to Haiti, and seen what folks live with and how they live there, it doesn't bother me to eat anything anymore, hardly. I mean, if I don't have to and I don't want it, I don't eat it. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. I've got to the place my wife fixed, and I'm not trying to be funny, because I don't feel a funny bone in my body tonight. But my wife fixed a big bowl of potato soup the other day, and she's kidding me, and she said, "I guess you won't eat none of that." I said, "If that's all you got, dish it out. It don't matter no more."
You hear me tonight? I've come to the place in my life that the only thing that matters, number one, is for me to touch the throne. Number two, is for me to help somebody else reach it. We grumble, we complain, we murmur. We fought the children of Israel because they'd done that. And if we'd tape record ourselves, Brother Roger, we'd hear ourselves do more murmur than they ever thought about doing. How would you like to walk for miles and miles and miles, not have an air conditioner or a heated car? We sit in this beautiful facility. I'm not putting you down tonight, church. Honest to God, I'm not. I'm just telling you where we're at. We just about dread to get out and come to church sometimes because we have to walk 35 feet from the house to the car and there's cold weather there. I don't preach like this all the time, but I remember when I was a kid, I can remember just as plain as day, many a times. We'd drive by that church in Warfield or on Buck Creek, Brother Alan Harmon pastored. It'd be cold, and I mean freezing cold, and there'd be people coming out, walking out of the holler, Sister Joanne, to come to the house of God. Sometimes we think it's hard to get up and go to work, and I sympathize with men like Brother Tommy, Brother Leonard, Brother Jimmy. I know they work 14, 16 hours a day sometimes and sleep very little and go to work, and I know it's hard on them. I tell you, we think sometimes it's terrible if we have to work 8, 10, 12 hours and go to church at night. It's a joy, brother. It's a joy. It really is. I watch these brothers come in, and I'm going to say something to Leonard, and I don't want you to feel hard at me. I watch you have to hold your eyes open sometimes in the wintertime from that cold, cold, cold. I watch Brother Tommy sit there and Brother Jimmy. I think God bless them. If they fall asleep, give them the best rest they've ever had. It ain't like they've been working 4, 6, 8 hours in a heated or air-conditioned building and then coming to church. I'm not putting nobody down. I'm really not. God judge my heart. I've just come to a place to where that all I can see is straight ahead. And everything that falls in between here and there, I'm going to have to step over it, Brother Tim Hampton, to make it all the way to glory. Jesus bore his load. I guess Brother Donnell, I'm going to have to bear mine. You know, a Danny Crabtree, these little old mind games the devil tries to wrestle around on us. I've sat in that office years past. I've sat in that office and I've sat in another office not far down the road from here. I've heard the devil say they don't want to hear you no more. You're obsolete. Your messages are outdated. I hear those voices all the time. You fight going to work and fighting with your boss. I fight going to church and fighting the devil. I stand up here every service and y'all look at my ugly, sorry face. And I try my best. I tell you in the last 10, 12 years, I've tried my best to put more into it than I've ever put into it in my lifetime. Because I know we're fighting harder than we've ever fought. But I'm telling you, I fight those battles myself. I know what you go through. I know what you face. It's just like today. This morning I got up very early and was praying. I thought I had the message of the hour, brother. I'm telling you I did. I got it laying in there on my desk. I can show you. I mean, I got it. It's down my 4 or 5 points, and they're really ready. This afternoon when I got down here and the Holy Ghost said, there's somebody in trouble. I just put the message of the hour aside for another hour. Got my face in the Word of God and heard the voice of heaven say, they need help. I don't know what your problem is tonight. I'm not trying just to hold you here. I'm telling you, every muscle in my body is drawn. I feel the intensity of heaven. Saying, preacher, if they'd just reach out to me. You've said I've read. And I've read and I've read. You're going to have to reach one more time. You're going to have to reach one more time. You're going to have to tell every devil in hell, I got to make it. I got to go beyond this point. I got to make it, and I got to go beyond this point. And if I lose everything I've got to gain heaven, it's going to be worth it. Father, as we come before you tonight, dear God, I don't have any more words. My heart is twisted. My mind is strained. No, but God, I know your hand is overshadowing us. I'm asking you, God, as your servant. Oh, God, I'm asking you. Reach out one more time. Touch that heart, dear God. Give strength where there is no strength, God. Give hope where there is no hope. Bring them from that dangerous place, oh Lord, to a place to where that you'll help them and you'll strengthen them, God. I ask it in Jesus' name forevermore. I don't have no big elaborate words or unique preaching for you. All I have for you tonight is my very heart before heaven. Tonight as we stand all over this building, if we can and will, I'd like to ask you just for a moment, just for a moment, would you just bow your head and think about a few things for a moment? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and think about some things you've said, some things you've thought about. I'm going to ask you to think about, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Would it be better for you and for others? Would the situation be more or less complicated? And I'm going to ask them as they sing, if you'd come tonight, if you're here and you're in this building, I'm going to ask you to come down to this altar with us. And we're all going to come together. And that way it's just not one thing that the devil can use to say. They'll think it's just you. Let's gather in tonight, church. Young and old alike. Let's come. Everybody that can. Everybody that can. Let's seek the face of God. Let's call upon His blessed name. Let's trust Him with all of our hearts.
Lord, you wrap me in your arms. I'll never be the same. No, I wouldn't have it any other way. Lord, I've got to have you. All my friends, they say I'm crazy, Lord, but they don't understand. You're what makes the world turn around. Your life you can restore. Lord, I want to be aligned. Let